This morning we end a series on the epistles of John, and we've been there for a little while, 6-7 months or something like that, and we've spent some very in-depth time looking at different passages and looking at each paragraph and sometimes each word to really dig in and find out what God had for us and find out why the Holy Spirit inspired and wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Today we want to step back and take a moment to enjoy God's Word. I don't know if you've ever gone to any of your shoe boxes or if you have boxes of old letters. I have boxes of letters Susie wrote to me when I was dating or when we were dating. And I was dating her. And to go back and read those is just a marvelous thing. Have you ever had that experience? To just read that love that she was expressing and the emotions that she was expressing. And there is something precious about just reading them. And, you know, when you get them, at least I did at the time, you go word by word and phrase by phrase, and what did she mean by this, and what can I deduce from this? But now it's just reading them and enjoying them. And so this morning, we want to spend some time, a good portion of the morning, reading God's Word, and different people will be reading, and reading 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and reading it with a different understanding. Now that we've spent 7 months digesting it, to come back, and I would encourage you to enjoy it this morning. To enjoy it. As we read, be listening for what the Holy Spirit might be teaching. Listen with open hearts. Listen asking God to do something with us. It's not just simply a way to waste a half hour. But this is God's holy word. God's inspired word. The very words of the God of the universe to us. To help us. To love us. To bring us into relationship with Him. And when we look at it in that way, it is a totally different experience. And so we'll read through 1 John, and then we'll pause for a moment, and then a little later we'll read through 2 and 3 John. And after we read each one, we're going to just have a time of silence. A time to meditate, a time to reflect, a time to pray. And I know that that might be uncomfortable for us. We haven't done that very often. But I challenge you to use this time to draw near to God. To draw near to our Father. And to say, Lord, what would you have me learn today? What would you have me learn today? So before we read, I'd like to start with prayer, to prepare our hearts, to open our hearts to His Word. Let's pray together. Dear Lord God, our Father, as we come to your Word this morning, I pray right now you would remove any distractions. Remove any thoughts of what happened this morning and maybe the challenges of getting here and any family challenges or road rage challenges. Just take all that away this morning, Lord. Stop us from thinking about what we're doing this afternoon, this evening. And Lord, right now, may we be wholly devoted to your word. May our hearts be open to your Holy Spirit teaching us. You have promised your word does not return void. And so, Lord, this morning, may our hearts be ready to hear your very words. In your name, amen. Imagine that the letters just came to our church, and we're hearing them for the first time. Let's listen to 1 John.
The first epistle of John, chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him, and the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Behold, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true to him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet he hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever.
Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But if you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him as his coming. If you know that he is righteous, and you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him.
How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that we did not know him. Dear friends, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right and is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and by carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God, the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even his son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols.
Let's spend some moments just in quiet, reflecting and praying and responding to God. God's word is powerful and alive and cuts to the heart. And in light of that, it's not designed just to be heard, but it's designed to be responded to be interacted with. And so I just want to ask a question, and just for brief responses, was there a verse that you just heard that stood out to you? Was there a verse that God is impressing on your heart, or a theme or a thought that keeps coming up, as John is very circular, and so the same theme keeps coming up over and over and over? What did God say this morning? God is love. Amen. We are his children. That those born of God do not continue in sin. Amen. two are incompatible. If we love him, I love that verse. If we love him, we'll follow his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Not to believe everything, but test the message. God's word. It's not love with word or tongue, but in actions and in truth. Amen. It originated with God. Love originated with God and his sacrifice. And that's why we sang some songs about his sacrifice this morning. Oh, Lord God, we praise you. We give you all of our hearts. And Lord, all creation was created to praise you, to bring you glory. May we fulfill that. May we be part of that, Lord God. Now, as we hear your word again with 2nd and 3rd John, open our hearts once again to the working of your Spirit, to the teaching of your word. In your name. Amen.
The second epistle of John, verse 1. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of you walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be made complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings.
3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when the brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they're strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I'll call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And, not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name.
Again, let's take a moment of silence to let God's word speak to us. As you listened to 2nd and 3rd John, what truth stood out to you? Amen. No greater joy than to know my children are walking in the truth. There is nothing like it. This is love, to walk in obedience to his commands. To acknowledge Christ, believe him with every part of who you are, to follow him with every ounce of our strength. This morning we've heard from the epistles of John. Somewhat short, but inspired by the Holy Spirit for his church to change us, to change our church. And just in the few minutes that remain, you may think, well, why 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? Why did we spend 7 months of our time on these books of the Bible? And it comes back to our theme as a church for the year of wholly devoted and being wholly devoted to God and wholly devoted to each other. And in all three of these epistles, we saw two themes come out and then work themselves out, two God is statements. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, we saw God is light. God is light. And out of that comes His righteousness, His holiness, His purity, truth. In 2 John, we looked at truth and love. And this is the truth part, because God is light. It reveals truth. It reveals everything that is not truth. And the reason that is so important for us as a church is it brings us to our knees in awe of the work of Christ. And that has to be the foundation. If we're to grow together as a church, if we're to love each other, we have to be in awe of the work of Christ at the cross that lets us fellowship with a God who is light, even though we are not. And that's humbling. And out of that, we see words like adoption, that He through His work, has brought us into the family through His love, and He has overcome our sin. He has defeated our sin when we could not. And so as a church, one of our prayers is that we are wholly devoted to God, that we are deepening our relationship with Him, that we are deepening our appreciation for what He's done, that as even as we study these epistles, we see new aspects of God and how deep His love is and how deep the light is and the truth is. And we deepen our love for Him and our devotion to Him. The second God is statement we saw later in 1 John, and God is love, and someone mentioned that. And that's the other side of the equation. We have truth and love, light and love, and John sees them both because they are both true. And our devotion to God sees how much He loves us. But then John there goes towards each other, and he goes from the vertical to the horizontal, and he says, okay, this is how you love one another. Because if you are totally just on your face amazed at the cross, you can't help but love each other. You can't help it. And so God is love, and everything we do is to be about showing God's love to each other. And that's part of wholly devoted to God, wholly devoted to each other. Love God, love others. And so as a church, our challenge as we read these three epistles is, how are we doing at loving each other? How are we doing it at being a family? Because we're adopted brothers and sisters in Christ with the same dad, and we are a family. And that should affect every decision we make and every time that we choose and how we choose to spend that time. Because as we've talked about in recent weeks, it's about changing our mindset from I am an individual that just happens to come and see these people every now and then to I'm part of the group. I'm part of the family. And that's huge. If we really spend some time thinking about that as a church, do I make decisions based on what I want or on what's best for the family, what God wants for His church? And that's hard, and that should step on our toes. That should step on our toes every week, because we make so many decisions that are individual decisions, that are based on my preferences, based on my moods, based on what I feel like doing, and none of those is the criteria that God would have us use for deciding what we should do and how we should spend our time and how we should spend our resources. The first question should be, what does God want to do with His family? What does God want to do with His church? And so we see instructions to be devoted to God, because God is truth. And that's where obedience comes in. And we see instructions to be devoted to each other, because God is love. I pray that as a church, God's word has impacted us and changed us in these 7 months. Lord God, our Father, we cannot express our gratitude that your arms of love have made it possible for us to be adopted as your children. For all of us who are not of the light naturally, for you to bridge that gap, to die on the cross and pay for the sins and the stains and the darkness in our lives so that we can be one with you. Lord, thank you. Thank you. May we be changed by that. May that show in our actions toward you, towards our obedience towards you, toward our love towards you, and then in our love toward each other. Lord, may we be continually growing to be your church, a church that is pleasing to you. In your precious name, amen.